this is Brett Bassinger, and you're listening to Stargirl After Show.
This is the Stargirl After Show with Sarah and Sean. Your post-show breakdown of DC Stargirl with Easter eggs, exclusive behind-the-scenes info, and cast and crew interviews.
This is our destiny.
I finally know who I really am.
I'm Stargirl.
This is the Stargirl After Show.
Hey, Stargirl fans, welcome back to yet another post-season episode. This week, as always, sponsored by Stargirl.tv and DCTV.news, your best resources for news, media, and spoilers about Stargirl and other DC Comics properties. I'm Sean.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week, we are bringing you our extended Breck Bassinger interview, which is, you know, what we all really want, right? We want to hear from Stargirl herself.
Absolutely. God, she's still such an inspiration. And she's, you know, I won't say a lot younger than me, but significantly younger than me. And she's someone I look up to.
Yeah, I feel very lucky to have gotten to talk to her for an hour, basically. You only heard 40 minutes of our interview before. Now you get, you know, an extra 50% of Breck.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, what's not to like about that? So, we're going to do that. But first, let's talk a little bit about DC Fandome, which just happened.
Yeah. If you guys didn't catch it, you can go over to Stargirl.tv and see what you missed with the panel. It was led by Leah Thompson, who, you know, we've talked about before. She directed one of the episodes, and I, of course, know her from Caroline in the City.
Yeah, she's super fantastic. And I like the little games she played. But what we found out were some things that we already kind of figured and some things that were very nice to hear. So, I mean, we figured Eclipso was going to be a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a few setups for next season.
Yeah.
But in terms of like something that's liable to be a big deal, Eclipso's going to fit that bill.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody had any doubt about that. But Geoff Johns did confirm it. He also confirmed we're going to get some more Courtney and Shiv rivalry action going on. We're going to find out something about what's going on with Hootie. Everyone wants to know about Hootie, and we're going to find out.
I think that's what I'm most excited about in season two.
Right? Obviously, we're going to find out what's going on with Chuck slash the goggles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they addressed that specifically that I recall.
No, I don't remember that either.
But that's going to have to be there.
Yeah.
Also,
and then Solomon Grundy.
You and I discussed this. Solomon Grundy, how we probably wouldn't see him because he's very expensive, even if he's already modeled and rigged.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently we're going to see more Solomon Grundy. I love that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to be like there's the one storyline where he's like a protector of a hero. Maybe of Jade?
Of Jade, I don't remember. Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if like we saw the turning point in his fight with Our Man that I don't want to do this. I don't want to be the person fighting for the ISA and see if he does turn good. I don't know.
Well, I think that you're giving him a little bit much in terms of franchise.
Okay.
in his thinking capacity. But I think that, you know, we also have to keep in mind we've got James Robinson here. Mm-hmm. And James Robinson did plenty of interesting things with Solomon Grundy during his Starman run. So that's also another road that it could be taken. And I'm just real excited for whatever may come.
Yeah, same here.
So let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll have an hour of Breck Bassinger. I mean, gah, how great is that?
Stargirl After Show. Stargirl After Show.
So today we're very happy to talk to Breck Bassinger, Stargirl herself. Breck, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I like that introduction. I'll take that.
I'm just so thrilled to have you here, and I'm sure all our listeners are super thrilled as well.
Thank you so much, Sean.
So I want to talk to you a bit. One thing that I'm noticing right out of the gate is you are amongst the heroes on the show. You're the youngest. And you also sort of seem to have the most experience. You're almost like a real world analog of Courtney in that way. Did you feel like you had like a leadership role in the cast amongst your other JSA members or anything like that?
So when I first booked the show, Jeff Johns, he told me that it was going to be me, him, and actually Luke, who would kind of bring the energy onto set. And if we wanted to ruin it, we had that power. And if we wanted to make it easy, we had that power. So I felt like I took that advice. And as for the actual JSA, it's so interesting because I was on set all the time. So like outside of set, I didn't feel that leadership role, but on set when they would come, I definitely. So with like Yvette, when she came on to the fourth episode, she had done, you know, small scenes here and there, but that was her first episode to really be on set all the time. And she would just ask me so many questions. So I would say in that sense, yeah, I felt a leadership role when they were actually on set.
Awesome. You booked this role when you were 19, but it was your second show where you were the title character. Like, that's incredible for a 19-year-old girl, woman, excuse me. Just so young in your and early in your career, that's an incredible accomplishment. And I don't have a question to go with that. I just wanted to give you kudos.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I felt so blessed to have Bella, and then coming off of that to be able to be Stargirl. I just feel blessed. I'm very grateful.
How did Stargirl come about for you?
So I probably wrapped on the Nickelodeon show at that point for almost 2 years. And in between that time, I did a Hulu show. I'd done a couple films here and there, but I hadn't had that kind of that consistent job since the Nickelodeon show. And it's so funny, like probably 2 weeks before I got the audition for Stargirl, I was up like in the top two for an Amazon show that's actually going to be coming out very soon. And I wanted it so bad. Like, I just thought it was the perfect show for me. It was the screen test, which is kind of like the final stage in the audition process. For that audition was like my best audition I've ever had. I walked out of there being like, this is what my life is going to hold. I'm going to do this. I'll be moving to New Zealand to film this. In my head, it was settled. And I ended up not getting it. And it's probably the saddest I've ever been over something related to my career. And I kind of was in this dark spot when it came to my acting career at that point. Like, I was talking to my mom about like potentially just stopping acting for a little bit and going to like a full 4-year university, moving back to Texas. You know, I was just kind of in a negative headspace. And then I got the audition for Stargirl. And at that point, like, I was still in that negative headspace. But, so I wasn't letting myself get excited. I went in for the first audition, second audition, third kind of producer session with Jeff and Melissa, and then finally the screen test. And I wouldn't let myself see it because at that point, like, I didn't want to get ahead of myself. I had done that in the past and it had put me in this bad headspace. But I wouldn't look forward until I did the audition. It went great. I'd actually postponed a trip to the Bahamas to go to my screen test for Stargirl. And on the way to the airport, I get a random call from an unsaved number. And it was Jeff Johns. And he's like, hey, before you went on your trip, I wanted you to know that you booked it. You are a Stargirl. So that was a very great vacation for multiple reasons. But then finally, I remember I just started bawling. Like when he said that, I finally let myself feel it and get excited. And ever since then, it's just exceeded any expectation I've had. just from like the super suit to the cast and crew, it was perfect.
That's really amazing. I imagine they must have seen about a billion women for this role.
Yeah, Jeff, I've read interviews that he's done. He's like, yeah, we auditioned everyone in Hollywood that could potentially fit it. I have a lot of friends that auditioned for Stargirl. So that's cool.
So obviously this role is very important to Jeff, and he's spoken in so many interviews about how perfect you are for the role. And I mean, I'm no Jeff Johns, so my word doesn't really matter as much, but I'm inclined to agree.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk about the real Courtney for a minute. At what point in the process did you learn about her story and know that you had to sort of live up to this sort of ideal?
From the very beginning, I think with the first audition, like, I go in prepared. I go in knowing as much as I can. So, like, you research who Stargirl is, and that's one of the first things that'll pop up. But I remember like sitting down with Jeff for the first time and him kind of acknowledging that, and just, you know, his passion for this show. I mean, it's one of his love projects. I might be speaking for him, but I believe that. So I definitely wanted to do right by this role, more so than anything I've been involved with before.
And so did you actually know you were auditioning for Stargirl? Because I know a lot of the others had dummy sides.
Yeah, I think my role, and then, you know, my role for the audition process was one of the only ones with the actual name being like Courtney Whitmore, Stargirl. All the other ones were, like you said, mock sides, mock names.
So that at least gives you a little bit more to go on when you audition.
Yeah, it did for sure. Although, like, if you read the comics, Courtney's got some sass, which it's one of my favorite parts of her. But the actual original audition sides, she was a saint. She was so, in like the character description, I remember being like, she just is so optimistic, so happy. And well, don't get me wrong, Courtney like is the devil's advocate, and always like you'll see her optimism throughout the show. She definitely has this attitude that I feel like wasn't reflected in the original audition sides. So coming to set and seeing kind of the rewrites of the pilot and getting to see that attitude and spunkiness come out, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and in the comics as well, like you said, right at the beginning, she's almost kind of a jerk, because you're just seeing like her being fed up with the whole new family situation. Yeah. And you have to try to get to know her a bit, and then all her other qualities come out.
Of course, she's going through a lot, and she's a teenager. I feel like being a teen is like one of the hardest times of so many people's lives. And so she's just dealing with it the best she can. But once you see, like, she has such a good heart. I love Courtney. I think she's such a special character.
She really is. And I'm going to talk about some of the specific things that really lead into that in a little bit. But I do want to talk about your other superhero auditions, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you auditioned for Starlight on The Boys.
You are correct, yeah.
And for Raven on Titans, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. So I auditioned for Raven, and it was one of the like my favorite auditions I've ever gotten. It was like this dark, twisty thing, and you're like, the DC universe, it's such a big deal with such a great fan base. I didn't even get a call back. Like, but looking back, like, that role was not for me. I auditioned for Starlight, and it was actually just a self-tape. And looking, like, I've gone back and looked at my audition tape, it was a really solid tape. Once again, didn't hear back. I auditioned for the Disney Plus Stargirl. And then, so when I got the audition for this Stargirl, at first I was really confused. Like, I was like, wait, is this for The Boys? Like, is it that same superhero show? And they're like, no, this is a different one. I'm like, yeah, but I auditioned for Stargirl earlier this year. Like, she plays the ukulele. They're like, no, this is a different one. But then I also had auditioned for Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which at that time was going to CW. So, and, you know, at this point in my career, I feel like CW was such a great fit and such a great transition from Nickelodeon. And that was really one of my goals. And I didn't hear back on that one either. And then, so looking back, like, Stargirl is the perfect fit for everything I want. Like, I couldn't have drawn out something better. It has, like, it's on CW. It's a superhero show. It just has all of it all in one. Like, that's why I think it's so, I don't believe in coincidences. And that's why I think I always go back to it being such an interesting time in my career, because I was such in like, nothing worked out for me. It's just not meant for me. And then the perfect thing worked out, where it's just like timing is everything.
So did you have like a goal of like, I'm going to be a superhero at some point? Because that does seem to be like a mark. That's how you make your mark at this period in time, is like, if you're not a superhero, you're nobody.
Interesting. I don't think so, because there are only so many superhero shows. So instead of like, I'm a huge dreamer. I dream big, but I try not to dream too specific, because there's only so much you can do. So I feel like if I would have been as specific as like, I hope to be a superhero one day, then if I didn't reach that goal, it would be upsetting. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I dream to be on like one of those either like CW Freeform type things, because I felt like that was obtainable. But like saying I want to be a superhero is almost pushing it.
So with Starlight and Raven, you weren't chasing a particular kind of role. They were just characters that appealed to you.
Correct. And I fit, like my age range fit. But like I said, like if I've had, let's say 100 auditions that year, and 2 of the 100 were superheroes. So I feel like saying, oh my gosh, I have to play a superhero, that seemed almost astronomical. Like the odds of that are so slim to none. So every time I got a superhero audition, of course I wanted it so much, but I never got too set on it, just because of the odds of it. And the odds worked in my favor, so it's great.
That's very smart. I remember the first time that I met you was actually on set when you were fully Stargirled up.
Really?
Yeah, it was the camera test day.
Oh, okay. I was like, I feel like I met you earlier than episode 2, but yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it was camera test day. We hadn't started shooting the series yet, and I was just out on stage to gawp at Stripe. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my right, and you just like stepped out of the shadows, fully Stargirled. And I went, oh my God, you're a superhero. Look at you.
I love that. That's so fun.
I mean, it was really my first on-set experience with a superhero also, because I'm a super nerd going back to like when I was 10 years old, and it was a dream for me being on the show in the first place. And then just like, bam, there's a superhero next to me. It was amazing. And you looked amazing. And
I felt amazing. And the super suit, I feel like it's so true to the comics. Like, I can't imagine anyone being like, this doesn't look like the comic book. So like, I bet seeing it in person, you're like, oh my gosh, I know exactly who you are.
Yeah, it was really great. And just the whole JSA being involved as well. Like, I've always been a big fan of them. So, you know, hanging out with Our Man and Dr. Midnight is also pretty awesome. But enough about me.
No, I love it.
You are very well suited for Courtney, having, you know, talked to you in person and getting to know you a little bit. Like, it is a perfect fit. It really is. What do you feel like you have in common with Courtney, characteristic wise?
Yeah, I feel like one of the main attributes of Courtney is she sees the best in people. And I 100% have that, almost to a flaw, where like I'll be talking to my boyfriend and he'll be like, oh, this person, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, but maybe they just did it because blah, 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 blah. He's like, Brett, no, they're just a bad person. Like, why can't you admit that? So I'm like the devil's advocate to a fault. And I feel like Courtney has that throughout the season. Like, you see it with Rick Tyler, Our Man, how he's just supposed to be that bad dude, but she sees something in him. She believes in him. She thinks she can find that good side in him. And I like to think I have that, although I'm pretty sure I do, because it'll annoy Dylan, my boyfriend, sometimes. Also, I feel like we're both kind of spunky. Like, I definitely am sarcastic. I like poking fun at people, but it all comes from a good place. And Courtney has that as well. Not to mention my gymnastics background, but that's a little bit more physical than characteristic attribute-wise.
It's still an important distinction.
I agree. It definitely was helpful. I mean, my stunt double, Christina, she's absolutely amazing and just made me look like the coolest superhero ever. But my background in gymnastics, I do think, helped sell a lot of things.
When we were shooting, I did hear some of the other cast members talking about you behind your back. And what they were saying was that they were super impressed with how much physicality you brought to everything. Like, they said that she's the most athletic out of all of us by far.
I wish they would have said that to my face. Wow, because sometimes I felt so uncoordinated. But I'll take that. Thanks.
You know, I think anyone's going to feel a bit uncoordinated after, you know, watching Christina and the rest of the stunts team.
Even if you're like the sportiest person ever next to Christina, there's you just can't.
Yeah, it's a really, really impressive sport stunts team all around. And I just can't even speak highly enough about them.
Yeah, I just like sometimes I would stay after I was done filming just to watch them because they were so amazing.
But you did do a lot of training with them as well, right?
I did. Yeah, I worked very closely with Christina. 2 weeks before we even started filming, I worked hours every single day with her, mainly working on the bow staff training just because I struggled the most with that. And I was more confident with just standard combat training and gymnastics.
You mentioned Courtney's ability to see the best in everybody. And as I went through everything and marked down everything that really stood out to me about Courtney, that literally was the number one thing, is throughout, it's her optimism and her seeing the best in everybody. Moving forward down in the season, we've got her wanting to bring Henry into the team, much to the chagrin of Rick and Yolanda. Mm-hmm. But Courtney sees the best in him. She wants to believe that he's good deep down, despite, you know, everything that he's ever done saying the contrary. And I think that really speaks a lot to who she is as a character and what we love about her.
Yeah, I feel like she did the same thing with like Yvette or Yolanda and then Rick Tyler. But I feel like definitely the biggest example of that would be with Henry, just because no one in the JSA likes him. They're all like, he's horrible. And she's like, but wait, I swear his heart is good. Trust me.
So you spent just so much time on set. You're the one character that's in 90% of all the scenes. What is that kind of like work schedule like for someone of your age?
For it was someone of any age, I would imagine it definitely pushed me to my limits. I at times like didn't think I could keep going just because like my energy level. Actually, it was during episode 6. It was the hardest week hour wise because it started raining when we were supposed to be doing that big fight scene between Sportsmaster Tigress and the JSA. So it just kept getting elongated. I remember one day I got in at 9 a.m. and I didn't leave set till 5 a.m. So it was a 20-hour day. And then after that, we had another 20-hour day. And then I believe there was like a 17-hour day, another 17-hour day, a 14-hour day. And then we also worked on Saturday, just trying to catch up with the weather. And I feel like I would have like 2 weeks of really good. And then I would have like a week of where my energy just, I just couldn't keep up. And that like every time I would go to my trailer, I would just pass out. I lived on cat naps. I felt bad. Like a lot of the cast would want to go out on the weekends and I would just sleep the whole weekend. Cause you know, we would have a lot of fratter days where we would come in at 6 p.m. and wrap at 7 a.m. And then Monday morning, we'd be starting at 5 a.m. again. So I literally just use my weekends to sleep. I feel like the beginning was harder, but I do think my body got more used to it as much as a body can. But it definitely pushed me. Looking back, I'm so proud of everything I did.
And you and the JSA seem to have formed pretty tight friendships off camera as well.
Yes, Angelica was my roommate. 5 of the 7. When I say JSA, I go ahead and put Meg and Jake in there too, just because we were all kind of the young ones. But we'll just call us the 7.
Fair.
Yeah. The 7 of us, 5 of the 7 lived at the same apartment complex, and the other 2 were roommates as well at a different place. So we got so close. I still see Angelica, like, even through this quarantine, we go and we meet at the park and we do social distancing yoga together, and Cam comes sometimes too.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
I love that you guys are, I follow most of you on Instagram, and I feel like until the whole quarantine thing came about, I was seeing you guys posting stuff together almost as often as if you guys were on set every day with one another still.
For me, I feel like I've almost gotten to know a few of them better after the fact, because I was filming so much. I didn't get to always go out with them. So I feel like I've gotten, even like Angelica, like I would go, I lived with her and I would go a few days without even seeing her because I would get up so early and get home so late. But having this time after filming, getting to know them on a different level, it's like, because, you know, when we're in Atlanta filming, not that we're forced to hang out, but that's just who we have to hang out with because we're all down there. But here in LA, we have everyone we know. And the fact that we still choose to hang out with each other, I think says a lot.
Yeah, it's really great that you can all be in the same city.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, pretty much when I make friends on a set, I live in Atlanta. So those friends all go back to LA when we're done.
Yeah. Hopefully we all come back to Atlanta, though. So that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm hoping for 6 seasons in a movie for Stargirl.
I'm in. That's what I told Jeff. Because, you know, I feel like there's so many actors, sometimes they get, excuse the reference, I'm sorry if I'm coming at anyone, but they get too big for their britches where they're like, I'm done with this show. I want to move on. I told Jeff, I was like, no, I'm in. Whatever we can get, I'm in for the long run. Let's go.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like with acting, like, it's so inconsistent. If you have a job, you should never take it for granted. Personally, that's what I think. But I do know, like, I can't understand, like, if someone's ready just to do something else. But I personally don't think you should take any job for granted.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
For me, my biggest dream at this point is just to get onto a 22 episode a season, like, procedural show, because those things run forever. Mm-hmm. And then I won't ever have to look for a job again.
Yeah, consistency. That's what humans thrive on, consistency.
Oh, yeah. And now we're just consistently stuck at home. So that's something. I don't know. I would like to ask you about sort of the elder statesman of the cast. And that, of course, is the great Luke Wilson.
Ah, yes.
Did you guys develop any sort of tight, like, father-daughter-ish relationship over the course of filming?
Yes. I think it's really cool because I feel like Luke and I's relationship kind of grew as Courtney and Pat's relationship grew. Luke and I never, like, butted heads like Courtney and Pat did at the beginning, but just, like, being on set with him more and more, and by the end, like, if it was a scene with Luke and I was so excited because I knew we knew each other, we knew how to work together. And also, yeah, I just have such a special place for him in my heart. We're both from Texas. We bonded over the weirdest things, like, well, not the weirdest thing, but, like, Texas, cowboys, Tex-Mex food. He's a foodie. I'm a foodie. So, yes, throughout the season, I felt closer and closer to him.
You guys were bonding over stuff that you don't have in common with a lot of other LA people.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is just a dumb little observation, but I did notice that Stargirl is one of, I can't name a lot of shows that have this particular thing, but I think it's funny that Stargirl is a show that has a female quarterback on the football team.
I thought that was so funny. When I saw Artemis, I was like, oh, and not only that, they had like red jerseys on too. Like the practice jerseys were red, and or she had a red one on because, you know, the QB normally wears a different colored uniform, and that's exactly what it was on Belle and the Bulldog. And I made like a joke, I think, to my mom. She's like, I thought the same thing.
Let's talk about your mom. Your mom is
the greatest person ever.
An almost ever-present aspect of your filming life, but she's not like one of those overbearing stage moms. She just seems like she's around and being supportive of you.
She is. I mean, on the Nickelodeon show, she had to be there because like child labor laws.
Of course.
But now I'm an adult. Technically, I don't have my parent there, but she is literally my biggest fan. Whether it's like reading the research paper I just wrote or binge watching the first 5 episodes of Stargirl, because that's what I have. And literally, I think she's watched them like 15 times. I just love my mom so much. I'm a mom's girl. I take absolutely, what's the word? I am not embarrassed by like wanting my mom there all the time. I don't care if I'm 30, my mom will be on set with me, and I know she'll want to be as well.
And I noticed that she follows pretty much every like Stargirl related Twitter account.
Yes, I told you. I think like I secretly think one of those fan accounts is hers, and she's just too embarrassed to tell me.
She's just a super fan of her daughter, and it's really, really adorable.
So on Bella the Bulldogs, she dressed up as Bella 1 year for Halloween, like full on everything. She got this big blonde wig, and it was the most spot on costume ever. She wants to dress up as Stargirl now, but she said she has to do a lot more setups before she gets in that super suit.
And let's talk about your super suit, because Angelica had some things to say about her super suit. Not all positive. Yeah. I mean, obviously the suit is great.
Oh, it's gorgeous. But
if you're not in it,
that poor girl, like, cause you know, Atlanta summer is so hot and she had so many layers on. Oh gosh.
But you were the only one on the cast that was not ripping your mask off the instant they yelled cut.
Yeah. I was grateful for my suit. Overall, it was really comfortable. I think it was quite realistic. Like the shoes were very supportive around my ankles. So if I was a superhero, I would expect my super suit to look something like that. Like if Breck was a superhero, because I just think it's realistic. Although I do have to say it was quite tight because, you know, they make it custom to your body where it like fits you to the millimeter. So I split open a couple pairs of the shorts. Like I would do a kick or something. And one night I split open the top in 2 pairs of shorts in one night of filming.
Oh, wow. Like,
okay, Breck, you either need to take less trips to Crafty or just you're really into the fight scene. One or the other. I went with the latter.
Well, I guess that's why they have an entire super suit team standing by at all times.
Yeah. And it, you know, it would take like someone would come and help me dress, because even though mine was one of the most simple to put on, it was still difficult. Like I said, it was very tight. It fit my body to a T, so I had to have someone help me get it on.
I did note that you're the only one that doesn't have a fake butt.
Oh, yes. Well, growing up, like I said, I was a gymnast, a competitive cheerleader. Actually, my nickname in middle school was BBB. You would think like, oh, Breck Bassinger. No, it stood for Big Booty Breck. This is maybe TMI. I don't really care. So yeah, I just don't think I needed help in that department.
Yeah, I was there during one of the photo shoots, and I just remember Yvette was like, what, you don't have any padding? And she started poking your butt. And she's like, that's you? We all have fake butts. Why don't you? Oh my God.
Yeah. That's like, if,
Yeah, that's just hilarious. That's the thing, like, and I don't want to speak for Cam, but, you know, he has, like, fake thighs on, fake everything to really give him that super Superman, superhero-like, unrealistic body frame.
That jacked look.
Yes. Yeah. Like, is he on something? Because that's not natural. And guess what? It's not natural because it's all padding.
Which must make it super, super hot.
Oh, yeah. Him as well. Like, he just had the layers on. I do have to say, like, because our super suits were so tight, and, you know, we did want to have the superhero physique, it inspired all of us to work out together. Like, Yvette and I, we would go to Barry's boot camp together, and it was fun. It gave us, like, something to do together. Not that we needed help figuring things to do out, but it gave us something.
I feel like those guys must have been a little jealous of you, looking over and you've got, like, the crop top and shorts while they're just head to toe in heat.
Head to toe dripping in sweat. And I'm over here like, ooh, I have to say, like, this is why I can't imagine it, because even just the top part, because I did have a long sleeve on, and just with the long sleeve, I would be dripping in sweat because it's such a thick fabric. Oh my gosh, the fabric's beautiful. I don't know if you can tell on camera, but, like, every single one of the fabrics on the Stargirl suit is a different star pattern, like tiny little stars that give it depth. And the same thing with, like, our man, they're all made with hourglasses. So it's things like that. But because of that, the fabric's really heavy duty and thick. And me, just with the top part of me, I would be dripping in sweat. So I cannot imagine, like, I like you said, you talked to Angelica, but I don't know if you can realize how many layers she had on.
She did go into it. She said, okay, she had to wear a bunch of layers under so that the whole thing wasn't just falling off of her.
Well, there you go.
Because it was all baggy.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to fit like an oven mitt. I just reread that in 106 and I laughed out loud. I was like, oh, I forgot that line. That's funny.
And the writing is just so fantastic on the show in general. There are literally laugh out loud moments.
I agree. I think one of my favorite, I have a few favorite characters, but I do tend to, like, the things I watch, I like comedy. So I do sit, like, resonate towards those characters. Like, Angelica Beth Chappell, I think, is one of the best characters. The Cosmic Staff is one of the best characters. I think it's hilarious. It's like a little funny puppy dog. And also Luke, his lines are so serious, but the way he says them just cracks me up. Like, there's a part that is in most of the trailers for the first episode where he goes, although it is in the second episode, he goes, I'm someone looking for justice. And
oh, yeah.
The way he says that just kills me. He says it so, like, grounded, but what he's saying is hilarious. So I think that once again goes back to such good writing.
And then he's got that little look of like, did I just say that?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, he's I don't want to use the word perfect, but there's not another word.
For Pat, he is perfect. Like, just as much as I think I'm great for Courtney, I think he might even exceed that because he is the epitome of, like, a good funny dad joke Pat.
So I have been watching Luke Wilson in movies consistently since 1998. And I've always really admired him, and, you know, I was able to sort of, as I read the scripts, imagine his performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he for real blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, on camera, what he delivers is far greater than anything I imagined. In just these little ways, like when Starman's telling him, like, not you, definitely not you. He doesn't use the obvious, like, oh, that's hurtful face. He goes, yeah, that sort of makes sense. I get you.
And it's so grounded the way he does it. Like, he brings this realism to it, even though it's, like, so far-fetched that I feel like he's one of the things that grounds Stargirl.
You know, I don't want to, this is not the Luke Wilson interview, but.
No, it's okay. I love him. We can talk about him.
There's a thing when you work on set and not, like, necessarily with the actors, when an actor walks through the room, even if you've never seen them before in your life and have no idea who they are, you know they're an actor. And it's not just because they're the prettiest person that you've seen all week. It's that you guys have like, I don't know, you exude something. There's like some sort of magic aura around film actors. I don't know how to describe it, but everyone I've mentioned this to completely agrees with me. So it's a real thing. You can tell when an actor walks through, except Luke Wilson. When that guy walks through a room, he could be like some grip on his way to go get something. And you barely even acknowledge. He's just so grounded and down to earth and just...
I hadn't noticed it either. I hadn't noticed actors having this aura. So therefore I hadn't noticed him not having this, but interesting. I like it. It's a interesting theory.
It's like I said, it's a weird thing to say to an actor, but I've been on plenty of shows where I don't necessarily know everybody on the cast, but when someone walks through, I'm like, that's definitely a cast member. I have no idea who they are, but they're definitely a cast member.
Oh, I hope that doesn't say something bad about actors. Like, do we just walk around with this up, like our nose turned up?
No, it's not. It's not that kind of thing. Okay. It's just like a...
Although some actors have that sort of thing, may I just say.
It's true. Not a single actor on Stargirl, though.
I agree. We were so lucky with like the cast, because I've worked with some unique people. Oh my gosh, and the caliber of actors. I just watched episode 5 again. And just like Neil and Joe, their scene at the very end where Joe walks in with the wand and he comes at him and Neil's like, whoa, 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 and then just freezes him and kills him. And once again, it would be so easy to do that and not sell it and be like, that's far-fetched. That's kind of cheesy. That's kind of weird. But the way they do it is just, I'm like, I believe that. That totally happened. That could happen in this world. And I say that's a testimony to the caliber of actors we have on the show.
Yeah. And that moment really also sells how dangerous Icicle is, because that freezes fast.
Yeah, and the wizard comes in with such anger. You would think he would be the powerful one in that situation, but Icicle, he just stops them.
Yeah, normally when you see that kind of effect on a superhero show, like the ice takes a second to go down, and then like he's looking at his arm as it freezes, but it was just like straight through, and you were like, oh, this guy's scarier than an ice guy normally would be on a show. Jeff has done a really amazing job top to bottom on this show. And I'm so, so happy for him that he has gotten to make this and tell this story and bring Courtney to life in a way, not to disparage the two other actresses that have played Stargirl live action. But I feel like they were guest appearances, you know, they didn't have everything put into them. And this was given the time and care and attention that it really needed. And it really, really shows.
Yeah. Courtney is a very dynamic, lovely character with obviously, a very beautiful inspiration, and it deserved its own show. So I'm glad she got it.
And I do want to note that it did not go unnoticed around the set that you were constantly keeping Courtney Johns and honoring her in the back of your head.
Well, I felt like I think with every show I've done, I always want to do my best, but I want to do my best almost more for selfish reasons. But walking onto Stargirl, I wanted to do my best, but it was for more than just me. It was for Jeff. It was for Courtney. So I think I did. I had not even pressure, but I had that in the back of my mind every single day. It was always there.
Yeah, I remember I was working late one night, late for me, not late for you. but I was working late one night and I saw Stargirl run past me, full uniform. And you went to Jeff's office and I went and I hunted you down and I got our photo together because needed my picture with all the superheroes. In the end, I only got you and Yvette, but whatever.
No. Okay, well, now we have to have a season two. You got to get the rest of us.
Right? But the reason you were there was it was like between takes or setups or whatever, and you were running to drop a present on Jeff's desk for Courtney's birthday. And I just love that you had her so in your mind. Like, you knew when her birthday was and you did something to mark that occasion.
Yeah. I feel like every day on Stargirl was for, I really do, like, we were there because of her. And so I think any way I could acknowledge that, I wanted to take advantage of.
And I think that it shows. I think that you did an excellent job honoring her and just bringing the character to life in such a great way. And, we were talking about the way Luke acts, the grounded way that he delivers everything. And I think, I don't want this to come across as a bad thing, but I think you almost go in the opposite direction. Not that your performance isn't grounded, but you are so expressive that in a lot of other actresses, I think that your level of expressiveness would come across almost cartoony, but you sell it and it feels natural. Just going back to the first trailer when it came out, when you close the door and Pat's like, "Have a super day." Just that eye roll. You know what my favorite one is? When you're in the JSA headquarters in episode 3, the face you make when you say a pink pen.
Oh, yeah. I watched this episode a couple days ago, so I know exactly the face you're talking about. A pink pen.
It's a great counterpoint to the way Pat is played. And it's magic. You're magic, Breck.
Well, thank you. One of my inspirations as a comedic actress is Lucille Ball. And I feel like she is so expressive. So I don't take what you said as negative. I take it as a compliment. But also, I think it's because that's how I am as a person. Like, it's a flaw of mine where I show everything on my face. Like, if I'm thinking something bad, I'm thinking something bad. And so I think that kind of just translates to my acting because that is what's natural for me. So sometimes I have to watch myself as Breck, but then I do have to also make sure I'm not being too Breck because Breck's kind of like, Breck is a person that is kind of like a cartoon. I'm just kind of all over the place. So sometimes to counter that, I have to purposely counter, like think about it. Like a lot of actors, they have to, I don't want to speak for other actors, but I would assume, I know I've talked to some where they kind of have to like think about like, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I would react. And I'm almost the opposite where I'm like, okay, Breck, you would react too big. So calm it down a little bit. If that makes sense.
It does. It absolutely does. Were you always interested in acting or how did you get involved initially?
So when I was like 5, I wanted to be an astronaut because I wanted to go to the moon and get moon cheese. But when I found out the moon wasn't made of cheese, I gave up my dreams of being an astronaut and I wanted to become an actress. So ever since I was probably 6, I would run around and I would tell people, like, oh, what do you want to be when you're older? And I quote, this is what I would say. I don't want to be anything. I'm gonna be an actor. And they'd be like, oh, you're so cute. Ha 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 ha. There, I think I have something from like first grade where you fill out like, what do you want to be when you're older? What's your favorite color? And I think I actually wrote that out word per word. And I feel like so many little kids, they They want to be an actor. They want to be a famous singer. And so my mom, not that she didn't take me seriously, but I think she took it with a grain of salt. But I was very persistent. So finally, when I was 10, she was like, okay, fine, I'll put you into acting class and see if you actually like it. And I fell in love. Like, I took acting class for about 3 years solidly through. I almost got kicked off my middle school volleyball team for missing a game to go to an audition. But I said, no, I know what I actually want to do, and it's not become a volleyball player. I'm only 5'2". That's not happening. And actually, such a funny story. My coach, because they really put me through it when I missed a middle school volleyball game to go to an audition. Like, I was running laps. I was benched for a couple games. And I went and visited my school after being on Bella, and the coach apologized to me. She's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know how much this meant to you. I didn't know how serious it was, but I wanted to apologize. It's really set with me a long time how I treated you after that, which props to her, because it take, like, she had to swallow her pride for that. I thought it was very lovely that she took the time to do that. So I got lost in the story. But yeah, I went to LA for the first time when I was 13. I kind of tested the waters out. I ended up booking a recurring role that kept bringing me back to LA. And then the rest kind of came from that.
But your first role was on The Goldbergs, yes?
Yes.
And you were 13.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Playing a waitress. And not just 13 playing a waitress, which is not old enough to be a waitress.
They didn't need to know that.
But you actually look young for your age.
I know. Now that I'm almost 21 and now I'm playing 14. And then when I was 13, I was playing like 50. You know, it is based in the 80s. So she was supposed to be like 15 or 16. But I remember getting the audition for it. And I saw, I'm like, I told my manager, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get this. I'm 13. I can't play a waitress. And she's like, just go get your face in front of casting. Maybe they'll think of you for another role in the future. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I went in. Right when I left, I got a call from my agent saying, you're pinned. I called my manager and said, what does pinned mean? Because I was so new. It was like my first time ever in Los Angeles. She's like, that's so good. It means you're like in the top and that they're like checking your availability for filming. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is great. Ended up booking it. Went to, because it's the Goldbergs based in the 80s. They're very authentic to the 80s. So they did a custom made waffle girl suit. So I went to like the seamstress
Taylor.
Yeah, a tailor. Love that. Yes. I went to the tailor and they looked at me and they're like, what are you, a 10-year-old waitress? This doesn't make sense. And I was like, I'll wear a lot of makeup on the day. It's fine. And they're like, hey, we're not going to say anything. And I ended up going, and it was such a lovely experience. I was tragically nervous. Like, I still get nervous to this day, whether it's an audition or walking onto a new set. I get like shaky nervous. It's something I haven't overcome. But everyone was so nice. And actually, Wendy, who plays the mom on The Goldberg, I've actually worked with her now on another film. And Haley Orancio, she's from Texas, so we bonded over that. George Siegel, who, you know, is a old Hollywood star, he kind of took me under his wing that day, and he actually like went and pulled my mom. We're up by like the video village so she could watch, and he was just so kind and thoughtful. And I'm very glad that was my first set experience, because it was a lovely set to be on.
To bring it back to Stargirl, someone who has directed a lot of episodes of The Goldbergs is Leah Thompson.
Yes. Who was one of my favorite directors we had. We had so many lovely directors, but seeing Leah Thompson, this empowered, intelligent actress director, like the way she ran a set was just amazing. It was one of the smoothest episodes, one of the quickest episodes. Like, I think that was the only day in the whole 13 episodes where the crew wrapped in under 12 hours. I think, well, you know, there was one with Leah and one with Michael Mankin. Other than that, I think every day was 12 hours or longer, which the cast and crew are very appreciative of an under 12 hour day. Like I said, that doesn't happen. So it was very, very special. And I think says a lot to that director.
So you mentioned earlier being a foodie, something that you had in common with Luke.
Yes.
But you're a particular kind of foodie.
Yeah. I'm a gluten-free foodie, if that's what you're referring to.
It is. Thank you for picking up on my segue.
Thank you.
It's a great Instagram. If you're into gluten-free food, you should definitely check out Breck's Instagram,
Gluten-Free Foodie. Even if you're not into gluten-free food, I make such bomb recipes and go to such good restaurants. So my boyfriend, he eats gluten-free when he's with me just because with celiac, it's such an intense allergy. Although I feel like allergy isn't the correct word because it's technically an autoimmune disease. If he was to eat gluten and then kiss me, it could actually cause a reaction.
Yep.
So, he eats gluten-free when he's with me and also just to be supportive. And he says my cooking and some of the restaurants we've gone to are absolutely amazing. My goal is to always have gluten eaters not know it's gluten-free. So even if you don't and you're just a foodie, go follow my food Instagram.
I had to have gluten-free wedding cake option at my wedding.
Oh.
Because my wife's maid of honor is also celiac.
That's so sweet. Did y'all have an option for her?
So what we did was we had our main cake, and then we had cupcakes in different flavors. Some were vegan for our vegan people. Some were gluten-free for our gluten-free people. And I could not tell they were gluten-free. And that is a rare thing.
Yeah, but see, that's, I feel like, okay, don't get me wrong. There's some gluten-free food out there that is disgusting. But as a whole, I feel like gluten-free has this stigma around it where it's like, oh, it's gluten-free. It's gross. And from my experience, like I've had very few gross gluten-free things. I feel like the only thing that's like a stretch is loaves of bread because it's just not the same. It's normally like gummy or crumbly and well. But other than that, I've found amazing substitutes for everything. But also, can I just thank you really quick for having options for people at your wedding? That is so sweet and so aware. I plan on 100% doing the same thing when I get married, not only so I can eat it, but just like I want vegan options. I just feel like including people is so thoughtful.
Have you found that the gluten-free craze amongst non-celiacs has made it more difficult for you to get properly gluten-free food?
Ooh, that is such a tough question. And I feel like yes and no answers it both. Yes, because I go to a restaurant and I order something gluten-free and they don't take it seriously because for me, I need them to change their gloves. I need them to use a clean prep station.
Yeah.
But because of the trendiness of the gluten-free diet and so many people eat gluten-free who don't have celiac, a lot of them just go and like, they can have a gluten-free pizza, even if it was in the same oven as a normal one. So because of that, it makes it more difficult because people don't take it as seriously. But on the other side, it's given me a lot more options because I feel like people now have gluten-free options and I just have to take the extra mile to tell them the precautions that I need them to take. And as long as I voice that, I feel like it's better. So yes and no.
Yeah, I've found that there's that issue where they think if there's not gluten in the ingredients, that it's fine.
Right, it's not.
But they're making pizza on the same countertop that they just had a floured dough on.
Yeah.
So that this is for some awareness for people. Remember, there are celiacs who don't just choose not to have gluten, but it will mess them up.
If I could choose, I'd be eating gluten every day. That's a promise.
And you're also a diabetic.
Oh, yes. Let me give you my whole illness, my autoimmune disease list.
And that's been going on for how long now?
12 and a half years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I've had it. I don't remember a life without diabetes.
So you have an essentially sugar-free life. And a gluten-free life.
I actually do eat sugar because I can take the injection. Like, so for me, I just have to count the amount of carbs I eat and give the correct amount of insulin. So for every 10 carbs I eat, I give 1 unit of insulin. So even if it's 10 carbs of straight sugar, I just have to give X amount of insulin. I do follow a relatively low sugar diet just because it kind of makes it easier to like maintain a good blood sugar. But I can have sugar.
Oh, well, that's good. That's at least less restrictive.
Yes.
Well, Breck, I have one final question for you. Okay. And I'm asking this question of everyone on the cast, but I'm the most interested in hearing your response because everyone else is unexpected, or like I know, I have an idea what they might say.
Okay.
But with you, this could go anywhere.
Oh, God.
So if you had been cast in Stargirl, but not as Courtney, what other character would you have wanted to play?
Ooh. I could play, just for instance, I could play Outer Man and it's fine. Like it doesn't matter. Okay. Like which one would I want to, or which one do I think I would have?
Would you want to? Like which one would you, do you like feel a connection with, or that would have been interesting or fun for you to play?
Okay. Oh. I can come up with a reason for every other character. I think though, I want to say Brainwave. I think Brainwave is such a cool character and he did such a good job. And I think it would be so unexpected. Like looking at me playing this super evil character.
I love it.
I think it would be interesting. That's my answer.
Breck, John, thank you so much for being so generous with your time.
Of course. Thank you. I had so much fun. Like I said, I've been working on Stargirl for almost, I guess it's a year and a half. But so I'm ready for it to come out. I'm ready for people to see it. So just talking about it, getting excited. This has been fun. But the pleasure was all mine.
I really appreciate you talking to me at all. I know there's a lot of people probably seeking out your voice and your time as this show gets ready to come out. So I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you. You're part of the Stargirl family. Family comes first.
Stargirl After Show.
Sarah, thoughts?
She is so wonderful.
Well,
yeah.
We all know
that. We all know that already. But I also love, she just seems so relatable too. I love that she was talking about, you know, being gluten-free and everything like that. Like, she isn't just this star who has a perfect life. She has a lot of struggles. And she faces them head on and has a positive attitude. I think very inspirational.
Yeah. As someone who is literally old enough to be her father, I kind of feel weird about sort of looking up to her, but I kind of do.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, she's just a straight up inspiration. There's no way around it.
She is. I'm so excited to see, well, first of all, her in the next 10 seasons of Stargirl, I'm hoping, but then where else she goes with her career, because I think she has a really bright future ahead of her.
Speaking of 10 seasons of Stargirl, you didn't actually watch the fandom panel, right?
No, I didn't.
You just read about it?
Right.
Okay, so I had to screen cap this part of it, and I'll, if I get around to it, hopefully I'll post it on the Instagram. But Cameron makes a joke about a musical episode, and it cuts out to the grid of them. And Jeff just is burying his hand in his, or his face in his hand. Like, oh, God. And then says that it's a great season 9 idea.
Okay. Yeah.
So I love that Jeff's on the, like, can we not do the gimmicks for another 8 seasons, please? That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I think Supernatural will wait until season 9 for their musical.
Was it that late? I don't think it was that late. It was season 6 or 7.
Oh, definitely wasn't then.
You're talking about the kids that put on the school play based on the Carver Edlin books.
Yes. It was episode 200.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. And
one of my favorites either way.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. You know, Supernatural's about to end. Maybe someone should do a Supernatural rewatch podcast and just start that from the beginning.
I cannot.
I might just be looking for an excuse to rewatch all of Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been doing that during quarantine.
So, speaking of other podcasts, Sarah, you have another podcast.
I do. You can catch me at What's New Nancy Drew, where I talk about the CW show Nancy Drew. Also, recently, I appeared on another podcast called The Brotherhood of Batman. They did an anniversary episode, and I've been on there a few times, and so I popped back in for that one. They talk about Batman books, movies. They're kind of going through their, you know, chronologically through his story, about to start the Nightfall storyline. So if you want to check in for that season, I highly recommend it.
Wow. How'd you manage to get in on that one?
Yeah, I know. It was pretty tough. And Sean, you want to tell us about your other podcast?
So I still have Table Reads. It's still going. It's at tablereadspodcast.com. We read scripts that never got made. Most of them are bad. And we don't let them get away with it. So that's that, tablereadspodcast.com. And of course, you can find all things Stargirl at stargirlaftershow.com or our socials on Instagram and Twitter at StargirlPod. So that's it for this week. Next week, we will be back with our extended interview with Meg DeLacy.
Who, again, is such a delight. I feel I say that about everyone, but...
They are all delights. If we were to do a Sandman live-action series with these people, it would just be seven versions of Delight. None of the other Endless would be represented. All right, on that note, I'm getting us out of here. We'll see you next week, and until then, have a super great day.
Stargirl After Show is a production of Fandom Limb Media.